Look with me, Psalm 34, and we've been studying these messianic psalms. I want to give you the outline that I messed up on last week, and hopefully be an encouragement to you. Psalm 34, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Bible says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do you know why the Lord met with us this week? Verse number 18. Brother Dan, you know the reason why the Lord was so good to you? Verse 18. Miss Sandy, you know why the Lord blessed you so much? Verse 18. You know why God allowed folks to get saved this week? Verse 18. You know why the Lord added to our church and we had 119 people in this auditorium last night? Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. What a precious promise. Look at verse 20. Here's where we see the messianic verse. The Bible says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to see Christ in these four psalms. Lord, help us to look to you and trust you, Lord, in every part of life. Help us, Lord, to have one goal in mind, and that is to develop a relationship with you that will be right and pleasant, Lord, pleasing in your sight. Help us now, Lord, to love you and to do your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you that we're looking in the book of Psalms, and I said that the book of Psalms is perfectly arranged by the Holy Spirit himself. No other way could we have this book so perfectly organized if the Holy Spirit of God was not involved. We understand that his hand was moving to make this happen. I gave you an outline last week, but it was flawed. I had left out one part in my notes, and I ask you to forgive me for that. Book one, and I mentioned that the book of Psalms is literally five books, not one. And I gave you that division. How many of you wrote that down last week and want to correct it? Let me give you the corrected version. So I gave you four out of five that were correct. The first book is Psalm 1 through 41. And I mentioned to you that it corresponds with the theme of the book of Genesis. And that is, it begins with the blessed man. The second book in Psalms is Psalm 42 through Psalm 72. And this book corresponds with the book of Exodus. And the theme of Exodus is redemption and the king. The third book of Psalms is Psalm 73 through Psalm 89. And that's the one that I left out last week. Psalm 73 through Psalm 89, this is the third book in the book of Psalms, and it corresponds with the book of Leviticus and its theme, which is the sanctuary and worship in the sanctuary. And then fourth book is Psalm 90 through Psalm 106, and it corresponds with the book of Numbers. I gave you that correctly last week. And its theme, which is wilderness and God's rule. And then the last book, book number 5, is Psalm 107 through Psalm 150. And it corresponds with the book of Deuteronomy and its theme, which is praise and God's word. You'll find the entire end part of the book of Psalms is all about praise, and we find Psalm 119 in the middle of that, where it deals but nothing other than the word of God. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, you see that that is the resounding theme throughout the entire book. It's an amazing passage of scripture. Now, I called these Messianic Psalms. I'll spell that for you. It's M-E-S-S-I-A-N. I'll spell it again, M-E-S-S-I-A-N-I-C, Messianic Psalms. And what that means, these are psalms that prophetically speak about the coming Messiah. They speak about his person, his work, his suffering, his reign, and his glory. And they are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. These books are so important because they help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms. Last week I gave you Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, and I hope that you'll write that down, because one of the divisions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the disciples on the road to the Emmaus was that they were going to see Christ in the Psalms, and that's what we're looking at. It's just in the Psalms. I mentioned to you we're going to go each book at a time, all 5 books, and this is the second week. And I hope to finish 3 more Psalms tonight. I want to give you the theme and move on quickly, but I'm going to reserve at least 1, possibly 2 weeks for just Psalm 22. Because of all the Psalms, there is no Psalm that helps us to see the Lord Jesus Christ more clearly than the 22nd Psalm, and it would be wrong for us to move by it too quickly. So when we look at Psalm 34, and that's where we're at tonight, we see that the Messiah's bones were not broken. And what does this picture? When you look at Psalm 34, especially verse 20, I hope that you'll write beside of verse 20, this is our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our perfect sacrifice. It is a reminder for us that he could not have any blemish or any type of break. The Passover lamb had to be the perfect lamb, and if Jesus would have had broken bones, he would not have met the requirement for that perfect lamb, and we understand that Jesus Christ did, no bones broken. As a matter of fact, he had died before the Roman soldiers got there to break his legs. And if you'll remind yourself that in the crucifixion, they would break their legs so that they couldn't push themselves up to get a breath of air. So the Lord Jesus Christ had already given up the ghost by that time, and they did not have to break his bones. They took him down. Now, it's very important that we see in these Messianic Psalms how they are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. If you'll jot down beside of verse 20, John chapter 19 and verse 36, the Bible says, "For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled." And then John quotes for us Psalm 34 and verse 20. "A bone of him shall not be broken." We see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice in Psalm 34. Now I want you to look with me at Psalm 35. It is the next one. We have 3 more. Psalm 35, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to mark verse 19. Psalm 35 and verse 19. This is the scarlet thread running through not just the scripture, but very specifically the book of Psalms. The Bible says in verse 19, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink the eye that hate me without cause." I want you to mark 2 phrases. The first one, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me." And then the last phrase is the most important. It says, "that hate me without a cause." We understand that our Messiah was hated without a cause. The same is true today. Many people that you will come across, they have no reason to hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no reason to hate Christians. The best people that have ever lived, the best people that will ever live are God's people. Amen? The best people that you'll ever cross paths with in this life are God's people, but it just seems that some people hate Christians without a cause. You know why? Because they hated their Redeemer. They hate their Messiah, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was hated without a cause. So here's what I'd like for you to jot down. Here's the theme. Here's the thought for this chapter. Jesus Christ is the rejected Savior. We see it over and over again throughout the Lord, throughout the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is our rejected Savior. In spite of all the miracles, in spite of all the healing, in spite of all the good things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, think about this, he was still hated. It does not matter what the church does. It doesn't matter how benevolent the church is. It doesn't matter how kind and how helpful the church is. Understand, the church is still hated. Why? Because of its Redeemer, because of its Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was rejected especially by the religious crowd. I want you to understand, if you truly preach Christ, if you exalt Christ, and you show how Christ is holy and high and exalted and lifted up, even the religious crowd would turn their back on you, because they worship a God that is not the God of the Bible. They worship a God that does not measure up to the truths of the Word of God. And we understand that it was a very, very dangerous thing for the religious crowd to reject Christ the way that he did. This hatred for Christ, it's unjustified. There's no reason for it. I want you to mark in this passage of Scripture, John chapter number 15 and verse 25. This is what makes it a messianic psalm. It speaks directly about the coming Messiah, but more importantly, it is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. It would be one thing for it to just prophesy of a Messiah or to speak of a Messiah, but here's what we rejoice in. It is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. How do we know that we're worshiping the right thing? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled these messianic psalms. John 15, verse 25, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled." God always keeps his word. "That it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." A direct quote from Psalm 35 and verse number 19. Let's look at Psalm 40. We're moving quickly. Psalm 40, and I want you to look with me all the way down in verse 7. Psalm 40 and verse 7, this scarlet thread, do you see it going in all the way until we get to chapter 40? And we're going to see the scarlet thread come out in verse number 7. The Bible says, "This said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." Now, I'm thankful that we have the completed Word of God, because we only have half of what God wants us to know here. We only have a small portion of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We only have a small portion of what God wants us to understand about our Messiah. I would like for you to write this down by Psalm number 40. We see that the Messiah was coming to do the will of God. You say, "Brother Fred, how do you know that? It doesn't say that in the Scripture." Well, we compare Scripture with Scripture. So we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this messianic psalm when we look at what the Scripture, or how the Scripture uses this verse in other places. There's two places, both found in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, and Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. Brother Dave Sr. pointed this chapter out to me not too long ago, and I was happened to be studying it at the same time, and he gave me another truth from it, and I'm like, boy, they match perfect together. And that's what the Scripture does. It is like a perfect puzzle that all the pieces match. They all to go together. There's nothing out of place when it comes to our Savior, when it comes to the promises of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." This is a direct quote from Psalm 40 and verse number 7, but the New Testament gives us the rest of it. And maybe you'd mark this in your Bible, "To do thy will, O God." In verse number 9, it says the same thing. "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." So we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came, the volume of the book is written of him, to expose what his purpose was. And his purpose was to do the will of God. Let's look at the last one. Would you turn with me to Psalm 41? In book number 1, which is Psalm 1 through Psalm 41, we find that there are 10 Messianic Psalms. I mentioned that last week. I hope that you have that written down somewhere. In just the first book of Psalms, I'm not talking about the first Psalm. I'm talking about Psalm 1 through Psalm 41. There are 10 Messianic Psalms. No wonder that the Lord said to those disciples on the road to Emmaus about the Psalms. They speak of our Savior. They speak of Jesus Christ. It's the one reason why we should be very familiar with the Psalms. Now, I've got one more truth I want to share with you, and I recognize that we're out of time. I took a little more time tonight with praise, which I do not regret. And we took a little extra time tonight with talking about the video, which I don't regret as well. I want you to understand these things are coming. They're going to be a tremendous help to our church. But with that being said, I don't want to miss this tremendously important principle that I want to show you about these four Psalms when we get at the conclusion. So just hang tight with me for just a moment. So in Psalm 41 and verse 9, look with me what it says. It says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Oh boy, what does that sound like? Who does that sound like? Maybe you just might want to write right there beside verse 9, Judas. Judas Iscariot, and our Messiah. When you look at Psalm 41, here's how it's presenting Christ. He is the betrayed Messiah. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He is the betrayed Redeemer. And the verse that goes along with that is John chapter 13 and verse number 18. I hope that you'll mark it right beside that. John 13 verse 18. Jesus said, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled." And he's referring to Psalm 41 and verse 9. "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Now, it's very important that you see something from this point forward. Again, this is the 10th, other than Psalm 22, and we've skipped Psalm 22. We're going to come back to it. It's very important for us to see after Psalm 22 because it was just so, it is a transition period in the book of Psalms, dealing with the crucifixion. There is a specific order that you will see, and I want you to see if you recognize this order. In Psalm 34, you see that the Messiah's bones were not broken. In Psalm 35, you see that the Messiah had hatred without a cause. In Psalm 40, you see the Messiah was coming to do God's will. In Psalm 41, you see that the Messiah was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Now think about that order. It is in the exact chronological order of the Lord Jesus Christ and the events of his life. After Psalm 22, it lines up perfectly. You say, "Brother Fred, where do you learn that?" From John chapter 1. I've got my Bible marked. I know you do not, but take just a moment, and I want you to see this perfect order in the book of John. John chapter 1, and I want you to see exactly what happened in this exact same order. So, Psalm 34 lines up with John chapter number 1 and verse 29. John 1, 29, the Bible says, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Also, verse 36, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." Do you remember when we went back at Psalm 34, and he is the Messiah that does not have a broken bone? Remember, they didn't break his bones, and it lines up with what John the Baptist saw when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." In the same chapter, look with me at verse 11. The Bible says this is a very familiar verse to all of us. It says, "And he came unto his own, and his own received him not." The Messiah was hated without cause, with no reason. Verse 11 lines up with Psalm 35. Psalm 35 teaches us that there was just no purpose, no reason for Jesus to be hated the way that he was. And when Jesus came to his own people, the people that he was sent to redeem, they hated him without a cause. And then the third one that we shared, which was Psalm 40, is in verse 38. Would you look with me at John chapter 1, verse 38? John chapter 1, verse 38. I hope I'm not going too quickly for you, but John chapter 1, verse 38, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Okay, remember what was the purpose of Psalm 40. It gave us the verse that teaches us, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me." And then remember, the New Testament helps us understand the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is to do thy will, O God. And it lines up perfectly with John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful to see the progression of our Messiah? Then look at the last one. John chapter 13. And we've looked at John chapter 1 verse 29 and 36. We've looked at John chapter 1 and verse 11. We've looked at John chapter 6 and verse 38. And then now the last one is we're going to look at John chapter 13 and verse 18. All of these correspond perfectly with these messianic psalms. Psalm 41 teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ was the betrayed Messiah. He was the one that was betrayed by Judas. John 13 verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But as the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Wow. What a beautiful, perfectly crystal clear picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need these psalms in our life because they magnify the Lord. If you read through the psalms, you'll see that that is their purpose, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. It is my desire above everything else. It is my desire. If you see me, you know, there's been many times I've said it this way. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of caution. If I'm going to err, I want to err to the right, not to the left. You see what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, you can help me pray this way. I've already prayed, Lord, before I turn liberal and before I turn against your word, just go ahead and kill me and take me out of here. And I'm okay with you praying, God in heaven, kill Fred Hart if he turns liberal. I'm okay with you praying that. Go ahead and pray it. I want you to pray that. That's how I feel about it. That's just how I feel about it. If Fred Hart is going to turn liberal, go ahead and take him out of this life. You know, there might be a lot of ways that we make mistakes, but we do not want to make a mistake in the most important thing. And here's what I want you to see about your pastor, okay? I have so many mistakes. But if I'm going to make a mistake, here's the mistake that I want to make. I want to make the mistake so that you see that I'm trying to make much of Jesus. I want you to see that, man, if I go overboard, it's because I go overboard trying to help people see Christ. You say, Brother Fred, why do you do things the way that you do them? I have one goal in mind. I have one mindset in mind. You say, Brother Fred, I don't like the way you're doing it. Then try to tie it. Try to think, how is the preacher thinking? Is he trying to make much of Jesus? Because ultimately that is my goal. All that matters to me and all that matters to the Holy Spirit, and I can say it with authority, he did not come to represent anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If I am truly filled with the Spirit of God, I have one goal, and that's to turn every last one of our eyes upon Jesus. It is my goal, and I've prayed it today, God, please help me to decrease and help my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to increase. It is my heart's desire as I preach the Word of God and as I speak and as I pastor this church to make much of Jesus. Oh, it is my goal, and it is truly the bedrock root of everything that I say and do. I want to make much of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now let me ask you tonight, would you stand with me? Is that the goal of your life? Is that the goal of your life? You know, the Psalms did such an amazing job at presenting to us the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility, it is our duty as a New Testament church to make much of Jesus. Would you make that the goal of your life? There's not a goal that you'll make. There's not an ambition that you'll ever have that's any higher than making much of Jesus. Would you pray that way? I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to ask God to help us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, is there someone here tonight that would say, Brother Fred, I want to make that the goal of my life, and you know, I want to make a commitment to God that I'd live my life to point others to Jesus Christ. I want to make it a goal of my life, a commitment of my life to make much of Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and take it back down? God bless you. I'm going to ask you to, if you lifted your hand, to respond to the invitation and pray and ask God to help you to accomplish that with your life. That's my desire. That's what I feel like that God wants of me. Would you pray that way? Amen. 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 As Miss Emma continues to play, John chapter 3 and verse 30 says this: He must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. It is the prayer of my life that I keep getting more and more pushed to the background. It is the prayer of my life that the Lord Jesus Christ keeps being brought to the forefront. He becomes the object of our attention. He becomes what attracts our mind and our eyes, our heart, our soul. Father, I'm so thankful and so grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to bow before you tonight. I'm thankful for those that have gathered around this altar, and they have the same heart, the same mindset. Lord, they love you, and they love your word, and they want to see you exalted. They want to see you lifted up. Father, I pray that you would give us supernatural spiritual ability to lift up your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to honor you. Help us to glorify you with our life. I pray that you would help us to make it our sole purpose in life to honor and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Psalms. They're so powerful. They're so helpful. And Lord, they point us toward our Savior. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Many, many times. Can anybody tell me tonight what Preacher Cochran's life verse is? I'll give you a hint. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. That's preacher's life verse. Now, can anybody tell me what mine is? Oh, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. I want you to look at it. I want you to study. We won't do it now, but I want you to look at it and study, and I want you to see what is my thought behind that life verse. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also shall Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's a prayer request. That's not a declaration. I'm praying that that would be so about my life. I make so many mistakes. Thank you for being patient with me. I looked at myself yesterday and Monday and on Sunday, and I thought to myself, what a novice preacher. what a beginner. What a greenhorn. I made so many mistakes. I want you to pray that God would use me and help me to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. If nothing else is accomplished, that's all that matters to me. That's all I want. Well, let's pray and be dismissed, and let's ask the Lord to bless us. Brother Dane, you've already prayed once tonight, but I want you to pray again. Would you come up here and dismiss us in prayer and ask the Lord to see us safely home? Amen. I'll even put the mic in midget mode for you.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you, and we thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for the message tonight, Father, and Lord, let us most of all put Jesus Christ first in our lives, Lord. Lord, that others may see you through us, Father. And Lord, help us to live for you, Lord, that bring glory, praise, and honor to your holy name. Lord, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for each one that come out tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll bless each family here, Father, as we go home. Give us safety on the highway. Lord, be with us till the next appointed time, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.